Okay, good. Let's everybody stand for the reading of God's Word. And I would like for you to turn, please, to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Let's read verses 3 through 5 aloud, please. Verses 3 through 5, Psalm 43. I'll give you just a moment here to find that. All right. Psalm 43, everyone read with me, verses 3 through 5. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, and my God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then please be seated. Father, thank you for the precious word of God, and we pray for help from your word. Thank you for the music that we've heard tonight. It's been a blessing to be here. God bless everyone for coming in Jesus' name. Give us that anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. In Psalm 42 and 43, we see three verses that are very similar, and that would be verses 5 of Psalm 42 and verses 11, and then over in chapter 40, in Psalm 43 rather, in verse number 5, we see it again. In verse 5, why art thou cast down, that would be Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me, verse number 11, why art thou cast down. He says again in verse number 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. He has this admixture of unhappiness, but yet he's given us avenues to get out of this. For instance, in verse number 1, Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. So then he even says, people are saying, where is your God? He says, when I remember these things in verse 4, I pour out my soul in me. So he says, I'm panting after you like a hart. I'm pouring out my soul within me. In Psalm 43, O send out thy light. And then we see him going into the, why art thou cast down, O my soul, again. But what I want you to see is, and I've preached on these things before, what I want you to see is verse number 4 of Psalm 43. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. I have noticed this about musicians in my life, people that I've known, people in my own family, such as my father. He said, when I get the blues, I pick up the guitar and play it. There's something about music that in the midst of what David is talking about, he says, I'm going to God, and he is my exceeding joy. I'm going to take the harp, and I'm going to praise God upon the harp. I'm going to take my harp, and I'm going to praise him upon the harp. Remember, they said to the children of Israel when they were carried into captivity, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how can we? We've laid our harps on the willow tree. So they were even known for their harp playing. A couple of years ago, I remember it was after Teddy Klein's funeral, I had a hospital call downtown, and my wife and I went downtown together to the hospital call. And I'm telling you, we were coming down Fannin there, and the rain was just pouring down. So we weren't very far from the Houston Museum, and we go there from time to time anyway. And so we noticed a little sign. They were having a Texas exhibition there. So we pulled into the garage to stay dry. I said, well, let's go check that out. And I remember we went into the Texas exhibit, and we got to see Sam Houston's walking cane, got to see the single ball revolver that he carried, even had S. Houston carved on the handle there. We saw some of the knives that were owned by Jim Bowie. That was really interesting, the Jim Bowie, the Bowie knives, the original ones. But then and I knew about the Bowie knives, and I knew about the walking cane, actually, of Sam Houston. He had more than one. But this was what caught my attention, and that was in a special glass case on exhibition was the violin of Davy Crockett. And remembering that Davy Crockett was from Tennessee, we probably should call it a fiddle. They say the difference between a violin and a fiddle is that a violin has a case, okay? And I guess the way that you play it. But they had a little write-up about that, and then I begin to do a little research about Davy Crockett's violin. The Mexican commander, Santa Anna, said there'll be no quarter when they came up against the Alamo. And as they drew closer to the time of the attack, the buglers played El Degüello. Now, Alex, I hope I'm getting this right. El Degüello. And that was from a verb, degollar, which means to cut the throat. It was kind of a majestic melody, but it meant to cut the throat. Figuratively speaking, it was a sign that Santa Anna was telling everybody in the Alamo that there would be no quarter. In other words, once we attack, we're going to massacre. We're going to give no hope of any recovery or anybody surviving this. And so they would play this song. And of course, there were some Mexicans fighting for Texas independence, as well as people from Scotland, people from Ireland, people from our other states, a lot of North Carolinians. Matter of fact, there's a humorous saying, if it hadn't been for the Tennesseans, we Texicans would still be Mexicans. And they were there. Well, when they were playing that battle music, El Degüello, to cut the throat, Davy Crockett, and it's pretty well documented, took his violin and he played the Tennessee March. And some of the ladies that survived the Alamo said when the times were down and people were discouraged, Davy Crockett would take his violin and he would play it. Crockett had a friend from Scotland that was there with him, and sometimes together the Scotsman would play the bagpipes and Davy Crockett would play the violin along with him. So like the David from the Bible, he mustered faith using his violin. I started to walk up into the pulpit with Doug Prasak's coonskin hat on and say, I take off my coonskin hat to Davy Crockett. Started to name the message Davy Crockett's Violin. You know, I just love this great story of Crockett playing the violin, because Crockett was a lot of different things. He was an Indian fighter. He was multi-times serving in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was a politician. He was a statesman. He was a bear hunter par excellence. Did you know that one time he stared a bear? No, that's a little bit legend about him staring the bear down. But I think everybody that ever grew up in my era remembers Davy Crockett, you know, and all this other stuff. But along with all of the things that Davy Crockett was, independence fighter, he was a violinist. David Crockett was a violinist. And he used his violin, even at the Alamo, to stir up the morale, to help people through. I guess if I had a more appropriate title, it would be The Power of Music in Your Life. Number one, let me bring this to your attention. Music is incorporated in worship. Look at Psalm 100. Turn to Psalm 100. Music is incorporated in worship. Have you ever wondered why we begin our services with music? You know, there is a means to an end. It isn't just a time that we get together and we decide, well, traditionally we've sung music in our churches for years, and so that's why we do it. We just start out with hymns. We have a choir special, or we have specials like tonight. The Solistas sang for us, and then we have the ministry of the Word. That is very important because it is biblical. It says in verse number 1, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what I use to encourage everybody to sing in the choir. Amen. Even if you can't sing, come make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Notice what He says. Come before His presence with singing. And then He says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So we come into His presence with singing. We come into His presence with praise. We are to begin our worship with praise always and thanksgiving. And music has a way of bringing in a great manifestation of God's presence. Let me show you something to me that is great, and I marvel at it, and I've preached about it for years, but I still marvel at this. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, the great king, did not know what to do when they were surrounded by the enemy. He said in verse number 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What do you do when you don't know what to do? He says, and all Judah stood before, and the Bible says in verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They didn't know what to do. They realized in verse number 15, the latter part of it, the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Then he said in verse number 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In verse 18, it says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It says in verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So here's what they're saying. Believe God on this. And so they went in the battle. But notice they did not pick up, first of all, a spear or a shield or a sword. It says in verse number 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So before the army, we see these singers and these praisers in verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. It's an amazing thought here, how God actually turned the army on each other. The music that was given just ushered in the presence of God, and God sent ambushments against them. I believe that was angelic forces aiding them and helping them. So as soon as they begin to really sing and give God praise, God came in on the scene. When we go to church, we want God to come in on the scene and be manifested among us. So why do we sing? We sing because we want God to come in and be part of this worship service. Let me show you something there in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, please. 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15, it says in verse 16, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So, by the way, not only are we supposed to be making music, but we're supposed to be making music with joy. In 2 Chronicles, that was 1 Chronicles 15. Look at 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse number 13. Look at this, please. The power of music. Second Chronicles 5 and verse number 13. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand the minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Upon the dedication of the temple, when they went into this praising the Lord with the instruments and singing, the power of God was so strong that they could not even stand up, but they were literally down on their faces worshiping before the Lord. So music is not just simply some background entertainment getting ready for the main event. It's all part of the main event. It's all part of the act of worship to the Lord. Everything in the church service is an act of worship. The singing, the offering, giving an offering is an act of worship of the Lord. The ministry of the word is an act of worship of the Lord. When we give the invitation, it's an opportunity for us to join in into corporate worship, a rededication of our lives to the Lord. I want to show you something else that's rather interesting. 1 Samuel 16:17. You ever wondered, where did David really make his debut? Was it in the Valley of Elah? Look at 1 Samuel 16. And I bring this to your attention. Number two, music relieves stress in life. Look at 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. And verse number 17, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And so they found, of course, David, the son of Jesse, could exactly do that. This sweet psalmist of Israel was already into music, into songwriting, and of course we see eventually psalm writing. But I want you to see the effect that music has upon people. Saul was being bothered by an unholy demonic power that God allowed to mess with Saul because of his disobedience. But there seemed to be only one thing that could calm Saul down from a demonic fit. And I want you to see what it says here. It says in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 16. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. Now, if you're into underlining like I am, underline this. So Saul was, underline, refreshed. And was, underline, well. And then thirdly, and the evil spirit departed from him. This is the effect of godly music on people's lives. It affects us emotionally. The Bible says there that Saul was refreshed. His spirit literally changed. Remember what David said in Psalm 43? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? But before he said that, and after he said it in Psalm 42, he says, I'm going to go to the altar of God. I'm going to take my harp. It affects you emotionally. You let a couple, I'm thinking right now of a song that was sung at our wedding. And I won't try to sing it. I've tried to do that before, and it seems like every time I do, I mess it up. So I don't want to mess up my wife's memory of a very beautiful song. But when I hear that song, it can bring a tear to my eye because I associate that song with a blessed event, with a love that I have for my wife. Matter of fact, you've heard the expression love songs, love songs. A lot of times people have love songs. It reminds them of where they're at and how, you know, the Lord brought you together. Music can affect you emotionally. I know that if I hear one of my father's old favorite songs, it'll really pull at my heart and it'll affect me emotionally. Yeah. And it'll affect you physically. And it says, and he was well. You know, it's amazing how the internal can affect the external. I remember reading about this sometime years ago, that sometimes when people can be very, very tired and they feel like they can't put another step in front of the other step, or they feel like going to bed and just they're tired as can be, and then somebody drops over and says something like this. Now, this hasn't happened to me in a long, long time, but I can remember having very, very little sleep, working at, up in steel mills up in Indiana, 40 hours a week, and taking a full load at college, and just being worn out, and all it would take for me to be pulled up out of my seat with a spring in my step was, "Hey, Johnny, you want to play tennis?" And all of a sudden, phew, I mean, physically, I'm not even as tired as I used to be, because now I'm ready to get out there and hammer that ball. I'm ready to go. Music has a similar effect. You're feeling down, feeling distressed. Physically, hey, have you ever been in the dentist chair and they're about to give you a root canal? How many have ever had a root canal? Oh, I can hardly think of many things that I love more than that. Yeah. But some of you know what I'm talking about. They'll put the earphones on and the dentist will say, you know, go ahead and pick out what kind of music would you like to hear? And so they put on that music and he's even said, if you're feeling something, turn up the music. If you're feeling something, turn up the music. And so, I think one time I was listening to Beethoven and boy, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, da 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 da, you know. I have seen more than one open heart surgery. Can I tell you what each surgery had in common? Music. I am not joking you. I am looking over in this specially prepared thing downtown, watching open heart surgery, and there's a CD play over here, and the doctor makes his choice on the music. Some doctors like country and western, some doctors like classical, some doctors like, and they're listening to music while they're performing one of the most serious surgeries that you could do. There is a physical effect that music has on us. By the way, if you don't believe that, do you think that they put certain music in stores or restaurants by accident? I remember our old pastor said some years ago that in a certain cafeteria line, they put marches on and, you know, because they found out if they do some of that slow music, the people kind of saunter through there. But if they're da-da-da-da-da-da-da, they start moving faster. Yeah. If there's a bunch of baby boomers that are shopping in a certain place, they'll put 60 musics on. If there's the millennium generation on, they put noise on. Okay, I'm having a little fun with you. Music affects us physically. It has a physical effect on us. If you're not feeling real good, try a good dose of beautiful music. See if that doesn't help you. I know one thing, some of the so-called music of the day can give me a headache. I'm telling you. But the right kind of music can help physically. And then, this is important, David played with his harp, Saul was refreshed, he was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let me tell you something. We're singing with all of our hearts. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's probably not a demon within 200 miles of here because he hates the blood. You sing about the blood. You sing about the power of the living Christ. In Christ alone. I mean, there's something about that. I remember years ago, I was in the audience with Dr. Leonard Ravenhill when he was preaching. And Ravenhill didn't have any foolishness about him. He was a prophet of God if ever there was one. But I remember there was a little bit of a mini concert that took place just before he spoke, and it was more in a contemporary flavor. And I remember he didn't rebuke or anything. He just walked up the pulpit and said, before I speak, let's sing. And he had everybody stand, and he just a cappella, one hymn after the other, and then they sat down. You know what he was doing? He's driving the demons out. He was wanting the spirituality preparation to be done before he preached. That's why many times as we have music, the sermon, the song just before the preacher preaches is a very important song. The choir special that is done, it is not just a special that is something nice to hear. It can actually have an effect on the principalities and the powers of darkness. Won't go into detail. This is kind of a side note. But certain Bible teachers believe that the devil was the first choir director of heaven. The Bible said that in him was found tabrets and pipes and like an organ. He was like a cosmic boombox. He was a musical creature. Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? The angels sing. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And the devil knows the power of good music. He knows the power of music, period. And so when we have a song that gives God praise, a song that speaks of his redemption, a song that speaks of our identification with him. Let me love thee more and more, till I'm ever, ever on that shore. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy saving power. Boy, when you start singing about your identification with the Lord, about the power of his blood, I'm telling you what, the devils just don't hang out with that stuff. I have wondered at times if much of the contemporary music of the day is having the counter effect, inviting the powers of darkness rather than dispelling the powers of darkness. If something walks like a duck, if it acts like a duck, if it quacks like the duck, if it's got webbed feet like a duck, if it's got feathers like a duck, I'm gonna guess it's a duck. If you rock like the world, you sing like the world, you act like the world, I'm gonna guess you're worldly. I wonder how my wife would feel if I say, Barbara, this is a love song to you. I actually wrote this for my old girlfriend, but I changed the words and put your name in there. Do you get it? Barbara, I wrote this for my old girlfriend, but since she's not my girlfriend anymore, you're my girlfriend, I'm gonna put your name where her name was. Well, I can tell you right now, my wife doesn't want to hear the melody. Are you with me? She don't want to hear the same tune. Because that song belongs to that girl. Barbara, this is a song I wrote just for you. I only had you in mind when I wrote this. This is my song to you. She'll receive it. Because it's dedicated to her. I remember when I called myself a half Jesus freak because I couldn't get too far out, you know. But we had our guitars and I had a Fender 12 string and did all this other stuff. And I really liked a group called Buffalo Springfield that became Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Something's happening here, what it is ain't exactly fair. There's a man with a gun over there saying, stop, what's that sound? Everybody look, what's going on? I really love that. Okay. So when we went to churches, I put spiritual words to it. And I even had that blues running it. But there was something inside me saying, you know, this isn't right. This is what the world wrote for the world. This is God's house. These are God's people. Do you think the Lord might enjoy a song that is dedicated to Him, that was written only for Him? Not for the world, but for Him. And this is yours, Jesus. It's all yours. It is so quiet in here. You know, every now and then I get the feeling I have treed something here. Well, Davy Crockett played his violin. John McGregor from Scotland played his bagpipes. And the lady said that men's morale was lifted. Music affects us. All music affects us in some way or the other. Music lives beyond this life. This is an exciting thing to know. At every funeral I perform or attend, there's always music. I've often heard some people say something like this: "This was my grandmother's favorite song." As we're standing by the graveside, it's not unusual at all to hear taps played or a bagpipe or a skirl, a haunting melody. It's only fitting when a person goes to heaven that they're going to a place filled with music. When our Lord was born, there was a host from heaven that broke forth with these words from Luke 2:14: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Although do we not know this for certain, I'd like to think that they were singing, because I know this. The Bible says the Lord joys over us with singing. Do you not think that He was joying over Jesus when He was singing, when He was born? Oh, yes. How can we miss statements like this from Revelation 5:8? "The four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps." Isn't that amazing? These are representatives of the church in the church age that have been raptured up to heaven, and it says every one of them had harps. I am looking forward to playing every instrument in heaven I can. Revelation 14:2, "And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." Revelation 15:2, "And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over the image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God." A signal sign of the residence in heaven is that they are making music. Music stays with us. It eclipses time. Some of you, along with me, back in the 50s, heard that Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. And even as I was mentioning it, some of you had that song going over in your mind. It eclipses time. Music is like that, isn't it, huh? I remember Mrs. Dill said often from time to time, "Don't forget, at my funeral, I will arise and go to Jesus," must be sung. Why? Because that was associated with her salvation. She carried that song with her all her life. It never got old. Music eclipses time. It takes us back. It leads us on. Today, I want to challenge you on this coming morrow. Let the music that you have in your life bring you closer to God. Do you need to be refreshed? An emotional lift? Listen or sing some good music. Do you need a physical help? Why don't you listen to some great music or sing some good music? Do you need a spiritual lift? Then by all means, sing. Many times when I get into a prayer jam and I cannot get through, I'll just start singing the Lord. I have even gotten my hymn book out and just open up the hymn book and just started singing songs to the Lord until I could break through an ease of prayer. Sing a song unto the Lord. That's what the psalmist said also. "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and they shall fear." When the people see that we have a song, it makes them want the Savior who saved us. What a thought. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious word. We took a little bit more time than we wanted to, but thank you for the attentiveness of the people. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of good music in our life. Help us to take time to be holy, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's